Welcome into Radio Roxborough's Gardener's Corner program. My name is Rob Hall. We hope that you're doing good on this rainy, dreary Friday. 46 degrees at Raleigh Regional Airport at Person County. High today near 53. Down around 35 tonight. Winds could gust up to 26 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunny, high near 52. Winds up to 28 miles an hour. So those spring-like temperatures that we were having earlier this week, they have went on vacation. And it doesn't look like we're going to be back up to 60 until latter part of this week. Here today on the Gardener's Corner program, we are brought to you by T.G. Brooks Supply Company, Dry Creek Auctions, Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers, E.B. Harris Auctioneering, Loftus and Son Land Services, and Jason Acock Auctioneering. We want to welcome to the program today the crops agent for Person and Granville Counties, Miss Michaela Berryhill. Good morning, Michaela.
Good morning, Rob, and thank you for having me here today. I hope everybody's doing good.
Well, we appreciate you being here with us, and I know you are a busy lady, and you've always got a lot of different things in the works, so to speak, and we do appreciate you taking out some time of your busy schedule to share some good information with us here on the Gardener's Corner program. Michaela, I saw a posting this morning that kind of sparked my interest, so to speak, about a drone field day workshop, more or less, that's going to be at Vance Granville Community College, and you're going to be taking part in this, and it is actually happening tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I have been working a little bit with Vance Granville Community College. They are starting up a drone training program. So Vance Granville, I believe, has some classes where you can go and get your Part 107 certification, which is basically what kind of license you need to fly a drone and get compensated for it. So if you want to fly a drone for anything, for photography, for agriculture, or for whatever you may want to use it for, you've got to get this Part 107 license. And so they are advertising this curriculum that they have. And so tomorrow they're having a drone day. It's from 9 a.m. till 12. And I will be one of the first people to present, and I will be talking about how we utilize drones in agriculture. So should be a fun day. So if you're at all interested in it, then come on out to Vance Granville Community College and take a look.
Well, you know, Michaela, I think it's quite interesting. You know, drones have been used for many, many years, but it just seems like as of recent, and when I say as of recent, you know, the last 10 or 15 years, you seem to hear more and more about the use of drones. Now, what ways could a drone be beneficial in agriculture?
Well, there are a few different ways. One that I've kind of been involved with at NC State is agricultural research. So if you think about researchers are always trying to get as much data as possible off of their research trials. Now, whether that's looking at different varieties, looking at different fertility programs, looking at different planting dates or cultural practices, you know, they're trying to get as much data as possible. A drone or sensors, more specifically, that you can put onto a drone is one way that you can do that. So that's one thing that NC State is kind of looking into, is how drone data or sensor data can be utilized to get more results and faster results out of their research trials. So that's one way. Now, on a farm level, growers can utilize drones in many different ways, and those ways are, you know, they're still being looked at. I don't think that the full scope of how drones could be utilized on a farm operation have really been analyzed quite yet or found out quite yet. But one of the easiest ones that I could bring up is, you know, a drone that has a camera on it. A farmer has a field, let's say it's a pretty big field. Let's say, for example, that it's about a 30 to 50 acre field. So it's a large amount of land to go over if you want to scout that field. And let's say this farmer has tobacco out in that field, and they think that they have a pretty big disease problem. But it's hard to walk through all 50 acres of that field. And so they can put the drone up in the air and get an aerial view and be able to look over that field and identify the specific spots that they need to go look at that don't look good from the air, and they can go directly there and see what diseases are in that field. So it kind of cuts down on scouting time, if that makes any sense. So that's one of the biggest ways and easiest ways that I think they can be used on farms. And then there are even spray drones that are being developed right now. So these are drones that are gigantic. They're very expensive, but they are able to go over crops like, let's say, corn later in the season without having to drive through the field. So they would be able to go and spray something like a weed control and be able to help that farmer control those weeds later into the season without damaging their corn. So those are just a few examples.
Well, it does sound like a tremendous, you know, uses for drones. But, you know, Michaela, you are right. When you've got a huge, you know, field or whatever, and with the quality of the cameras and things like that, that can save a tremendous amount of time. And I guess the drone gives you a bird's eye view of to where you may see a spot in the field that maybe it's not as green as other parts, and you may want to, you know, go in and do a soil sample after you harvest or whatever of that particular area, or try to figure out exactly what is going on. But now, again, you're saying that you actually, to operate a drone, you have to have a license. Is that right?
So if you are just flying a drone recreationally, which means just for fun, anyone can purchase the drone and fly it as long as they register it with the FAA, which is pretty easy. It's something that you can do online. If you want to, so for example, for my job, if I put a drone up in the air and I look at a farmer's field and give a recommendation to that farmer, I need to have a drone license in order to do that. If someone flies a drone and they take a picture of, let's say, a property for a real estate agent so that they are able to sell that property and they get some sort of compensation for that, then you have to have a drone license. So if you're using it for any commercial reason, or even in any way to give advice to someone on how to manage their property, then you are supposed to have a drone license.
Well, that's quite interesting. Now, you know, you always hear tales about people talking about, well, someone flying a drone over our property and stuff. And I guess that is something that you have to have permission to. If you want to go out and fly a drone, you certainly need to ask permission, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And that's something that, you know, especially if you're doing it for a commercial reason, you learn about in that training in order to get your drone license. Excuse me, the pollen's getting to me a little bit. But you are supposed to have at least a verbal confirmation from whosever property it is that you have permission to fly the drone. And there's all sorts of laws about airspace and what airspace you are able to fly in, especially with a drone. You know, we occasionally share airspace if you're flying a drone with things like helicopters. And if there is what they call a manned aerial vehicle or something like a helicopter or a plane, a drone is supposed to immediately land so that we don't interfere with any of that airspace. Those types of vehicles or manned aerial vehicles, they get the priority. And that's why you're supposed to go and get the drone licenses, so you can learn about those types of laws and things like that.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people have drones for fun, but it's a lot of them used as for research and information. And so that is really interesting. But so is this drone class, a workshop, whatever it's being called, is it open to anyone to participate and join in tomorrow to listen to all the speakers?
Yes. So I think that the event tomorrow, you know, I am just an invited presenter. So I did not have a whole lot to do with the planning of it, but, it is open to anybody to come out. I think there might be, if the weather doesn't mess with us, there might be some, drones up in the air, some demonstrations that people will be able to see. So that is free to anyone. I think that if you are wanting to get your drone license or anything like that, those are some classes that you would have to talk to Vance Granville Community College to get more information on.
All right. Some really good information. Well, here it is, the first part of March. Before you know it, people are going to be planting, you know, field crops and things like that. I guess people are maybe still planning in the planning stages or whatever, but what is some good advice that you could pass along to the people that are wanting to plant corn? And I guess corn will start being planted, what, in the next month or so, Michaela?
Yeah, well, it might be a little bit on the early side. Across the state, usually somewhere around April 1st is kind of the go date for corn. Since we're a little bit in the northern part of the state, I think that growers tend to delay planting a little bit so that they don't get bit by a late season freeze or anything like that. But usually somewhere mid-April is about whenever people tend to start planting their corn.
Well, you know, I know they're saying that we could get down to freezing sometimes next week. And, you know, with a lot of trees and different things already in bloom. And we may have a setback or two between now and then. I certainly hope not. But our chance of frost here in the Piedmont typically runs up until around April 15th, give or take a few days, but then the chance of frost quickly declines after that. And so even though we had some really nice weather the last few weeks or so, I'm sure a lot of people got early spring fever, but, you know, just be precautious. And I know a lot of people are wanting to start planting gardens them. I know some people that's already planted onions and potatoes. That's fine. Maybe some of the cool season vegetables maybe would be okay. But, you know, your biggest part of an investment is planning, you know, more or less, and having a strategic plan. And there's so many things that comes into play. You're not always prepare for everything, but you certainly don't want to go out and plant early and then have to deal with freezing weather, and then you have to go back and replant. Now, Michaela, just a little bit about corn. Corn seed for planting is quite costly, correct?
Yes, that's right. Corn, excuse me, corn is a lot of the corn with the growers that I work with grow. A lot of them have a lot of genetic potential. And so it's pretty costly to get a bag of corn or corn to plant for grain. It's one of the more expensive grain crops to plant compared to soybeans or wheat.
Well, now, as far as wheat goes, that riding around, it looks like we have some nice wheat crops, but can you advise on that?
Yeah. So I've been out and around talking with growers about their wheat. And I, from looking at it, you know, growers back in October, whenever we plant, September, October, November, whenever we plant wheat, we had a very good stretch of dry weather. We were able to get a lot of wheat in the ground and very quickly. And so a lot of growers ended up planting their wheat a little bit earlier than they usually do. And then we had a very warm fall. You know, it didn't really dip down into colder temperatures, and the wheat didn't go dormant until later in the winter than it usually does. It was able to grow a lot more. And so now we had a very wet spring. As soon as the wheat dried up and, or the ground dried up a little bit and the wheat was able to get some air to their roots, the wheat just shot up. And so it's a little bit earlier in its growth stage than what we typically see. So growers who all have wheat out in the field and are planning their nitrogen applications, if you have not gotten nitrogen out on your wheat yet, I would encourage you to do that. The wheat is at what we call growth stage 30, which is the when you want to put your full top dress out. We got to that a whole lot quicker this year than what we normally do. And so your wheat, if it's not at growth stage 30, I bet that it's getting close to it, and it's probably that wheat is hungry and it needs some food. So I would suggest for you to go ahead, and even if it's a little bit earlier than you typically plan on putting that top dress out, you need to go ahead and get it out there.
Good advice
right
there.
Because of how big it is. Yep.
Now, Michaela, it's safe to say you're kind of the queen of wheat, correct?
I don't know if I'd call myself that, but I came from a wheat-growing county, and I know a good bit about it. It's probably the crop I know the most about.
Right. Well, now, back a little bit to the corn crop. Here in this area of North Carolina, and it's one of those things to where I guess it's adding, you know, the breadbasket of the world. They can produce a lot more bushels per acre than we can around here. Now, is that mainly because a lot of the corn out in the Midwest, and of course, in our neighboring state of Virginia, it's been some, you know, record amounts of bushels harvested on corn from there. Is it because of the soil? Is it because of them being able to irrigate? But what kind of is the difference? I mean, Michaela, or even is it any obvious difference?
So I'll speak on the Corn Belt first. So up in, you know, the Midwest where there's a lot of corn grown, they are able to get such high yields because they have very fertile soils. They have soils that have, you know, 20, 30, 40 inches of topsoil, what we call, where it's very good environment for the corn roots to grow into. So So they're able to develop these very large root systems. Like you said, they are also able to irrigate so that corn is getting the water that it needs exactly when it needs it. Compared to here in North Carolina, we have what soil scientists call very well-developed soil. That means that it's older, it's more eroded. That's why we're seeing those, you know, we kind of have some of that more reddish type of soils. And our topsoil has been eroded. So in many cases, we're lucky to get 1 to 2 inches of topsoil compared to the Midwest, which have upwards of 20, 30, 40 inches of topsoil. So our roots have to struggle more to grow, and they have to struggle more to get the nutrients that they need because it's not as easily available. So that's probably the biggest reason why they are able to make those higher yields than we are here. It's just the environment is a little bit easier to work with. They still have diseases and insects and things like that to contend with, but here in North Carolina, we have such a hotter, more humid climate, and so we have even more than they have to deal with. So we have all sorts of diseases and insects that eat on the corn crop and make it more difficult to grow here. I hope that answers your question at least a little bit.
It does. So the quality of soil, the topsoil, you know, has a big play in it. And I had always wondered, but really no one had explained it, you know, to me. And I appreciate you sharing that information. We need to get a break on, and we've got a lot of information to pass along to you today here on the Gardener's Corner program. Miss Michaela Berryhill is our special guest today, and she is the crops agent for the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service, and her territory is Person and Granville counties. More Gardener's Corner after these messages. Jason Acock, Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces the Justice Consignment Equipment Auction Sale to be held Saturday, March 11th. Please note an early start at 9 a.m. That auction sale address, 3675 NC581 Highway, Lewisburg. For terms, to view photographs of items up for auction and more information, log on to JasonAcockAuctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285. The auction will be held rain or shine. No bias premium will be charged, be it in person or online through proxy bid. Up for auction on Saturday, March 11th at 9 a.m., tractors, combine, construction equipment, vehicles, trailers, planting, tillage, hay, and landscaping equipment, plus zero-turn mowers and lots other items. That's JasonAcockAuctioneering.com or 919-495-0285. That is the Justice Consignment Equipment Auction, Saturday, March 11th, to be held at 3675 NC 581 Highway in Lewisburg. JasonAcockAuctioneering.com for more information.
Here is a March 2023 message from T.G. Brooks Supply Company as we head into spring 2023. T.G. Brooks Supply Company in Timberlake reminds everyone that you still have time for a weed-free and healthy lawn by applying pre-emergent weed control, both granular and with slow-release fertilizer. This will provide up to 8 months of weed control on lawn weeds that make your lawn hard to manage. Transform your lackluster lawn into a lush and beautiful landscape. They have plenty of fertilizer, lime, and weed control to get you off to a proper spring start. And so that you can have the prettiest lawn and be the envy of your neighborhood, they have hardwood and dyed mulches by the scoop and pine mulch by the bag. They have all the most popular lawn and garden chemicals, too, like insecticides, herbicides, and they have plenty of soils like your topsoil, bulk planting soil, potting soil, cow manure, and they have pine needles, too. Also, plenty of friendly advice from years of experience in helping Personians and folks from the surrounding area to beautify their lawns and have healthy gardens. When it comes to your home or property, and whether you are a homeowner or the commercial landscaper, T.G. Brooks Supply Company serves all and gives the same quality service and time to everyone. Serving homeowners, farming, and those in construction since 1936, no week is complete without a trip to T.G. Brooks Supply Company. Phone anytime at 336-364-3016.
Saturday, March 18th at 10 a.m., will be the Dry Creek Spring Consignment Auction. Bid live in person. Please note a new location, 1060 Wooding Road, Sutherland, Virginia, or bid online at drycreekauction.com. They are still taking consignments and can make arrangements to move the equipment to the auction site. Up for auction, tractors, trucks, trailers, farm equipment, and much more. Absolutely no premium charged. Call Billy Rice at 434-222-1599 for more information and to consign equipment today. That's 434-222-1599. The auction will be Saturday, March 18th at 10 a.m. Please note that new sale auction address, 1060 Wooding Road, Sutherland, Virginia, or online at www.drycreekauction.com. VAAL number 1065/4615. Concessions available on site. We're back on the Gardener's Corner program. We appreciate all of our fine supporting sponsors. And get out and support them if you could. And we would appreciate you passing on a word of thank you from us here at the radio station. Miss Michaela Berryhill is our guest on the program today. Michaela, you had mentioned a little bit before we went on air about you wanted to talk about some events and some services that is available through the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. So if you would you shine a little bit of light on that information for us?
Oh, yeah, of course. So the first one is one of the services I was talking about. Jennifer Brown, our Family and Consumer Sciences agent, she is going to be offering canner lid testing here in both the Person County office and the Granville County office. And so with, you know, gardens, with some produce about to be coming in and people going to be making jams and jellies and things like that, you want to make sure that you've got your canners, all set up to be ready for all of that. And so she is going to have appointment slots available on Monday, March 27th at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Granville County Extension Office in Oxford. And they're going to be, you can call and make an appointment to get your lid tested, or you can drop off your lid beforehand and she'll get it tested and then you'll be notified whenever it's ready for pickup. But again, that's going to be, the appointments are available in Granville County Monday, March 27th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then here in Person County on Wednesday, March 29th, again from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And so you can call either of the extension offices. The Granville County office is 919-603-1350. And the Person County office number is 336-599-1195. But you can call your respective extension office and get an appointment set up. If you have a canner lid, you would like to be tested.
And, you know, it's very important to do that. Sometimes the little pressure weight that you have on it, it may not be exactly right in the gauge and the gasket. And Jennifer has a tremendous amount of knowledge about the pressure canners. And if you go through all the work to do the canning, you certainly want to make sure that whatever it may be that you're canning, that it's going to seal and preserve itself, because, you know, the work and time that you put into it, you've got a lot into it, and you really want to get that reward when you opened up that can of whether it be green beans, lima beans, or whatever. But and with it being early like this, that way if you know your pressure canner is ready, when your vegetable starts to come in out of the garden, you're ready to go to work. You don't have to worry about, well, you know, I don't know about the gasket on my pressure canner or my gauge on the pressure canner. So now is a good time. So 336-599-1195 is the phone number to the Person County office. And the number to the Granville County office is 919-603-1350. And there again, you know, go ahead and make an appointment and get it checked out. And that way it'll be ready when you are. And Michaela, you know, it's so many different things that people, you know, can. I've heard of people canning meats. And even though we're talking canning, you know, in glass jars and things like that, and it may not be a bad idea for you to go ahead and start getting your jars, your more seal lids, and the jar rings, because I know it's been a few years to where supply and demand has been at a huge peak. And some people prefer canning over freezing. I guess it just depends on, you know, the individual. But again, 336-599-1195. That is the number to the Person County office. The Granville County office is 919-603-1350. Now, Michaela, is it any kind of pesticide credit hours or classes coming up anytime soon?
So there aren't any like classroom pesticide credits coming up for, you know, commercial pesticide applicators. But if you are a private pesticide applicator and you need X credit for your pesticide license, there are a few opportunities for you to get that and to come and learn a little something about grain production. So I will be hosting or helping host an Upper Piedmont grain meeting on Wednesday, March 15th from 9:30 to 12. And that's going to be over in Reidsville. The address is 525 NC 65, Reidsville, North Carolina. And we're going to have Dr. Rachel Van, Dr. Ron Heiniger to talk about soybeans and corn. And we'll have a few other extension specialists there to talk about things like weed control and soil management and everything along those lines. So make sure to come out for that if you're interested in both getting your pesticide credits and learning a little bit about grain production. I'm also going to be hosting an Upper Piedmont corn meeting on Tuesday, March 23rd from 8 to 10 in the morning at the Granville County Expo Center. And that is going to be a meeting that's all about corn. So we're going to have Dr. Heiniger, who is the NC State Extension corn specialist. We'll have Dominique Reisig there, who will be talking about managing insects in corn. And we will also have Dr. Charlie Cahoon, who is the NC State weed specialist. And so he'll be talking about some important considerations for weed control at that meeting. And again, that one is going to have 2 hours of X credit. The Upper Piedmont Grain meeting is also going to have 2 hours of X credit. So those are some events that you can come by and get some pesticide credits for that. If you are a private pesticide applicator or a commercial applicator and you're worried about getting your pesticide credits in for this year, Johnny and I will be working together around the time of August to September to provide another round of recertification credits for you if you're interested in that. So keep your eye out, and we'll be sending letters out and everything to people that need to get those credits in at that time.
Well, that is really neat, you know, to where y'all kind of keep it up, keep up with it, and send out a mailer. Let's take a break, and when we come back, maybe we can talk about planting and soil temperatures. How about that, Michaela?
That sounds perfect.
E.B. Harris Auctioneers, NCAL 1468, announces a farm equipment auction to be held Saturday, March 18th at 10 a.m. in Elon, North Carolina at 4701 Weitzel Brothers Road. It's the estate of Ricky Weitzel, who is deceased. Up for auction on Saturday, March 18th, starting at 10 a.m., Buck Barns, tobacco and irrigation equipment, trucks, and other equipment. Be it in person or be it online at bid.ebharris.com. For terms, more information, and to view photographs of items up for auction, log on to ebharris.com or call EB at 252-257-2140. EB Harris Auctioneers, the complete auction service. This auction again, Saturday, March 18th at 10 a.m. at 4701 Weitzel Brothers Road in Elon, North Carolina. Log on to ebharris.com for more information.
96.7 KRX and AM 1430 WRXO.
Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers is located 613 Lewis Street in Oxford. Open for business weekdays 8 to 5, Saturdays 9 till 1. Call 1-800-221-9267 or 919-693-4626. Al, Hillary, and Will, there to serve you with all of your golf car needs. They have club car, Easy Go, and Yamaha units. If you're wanting a gasoline or an electric golf car, they have them at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Trojan Batteries, Parts and Repair Service. Thinking about a new grill? Check out the Wilmington Grills at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Speaking of trailers, they have utility, dump, enclosed, stock, and equipment trailers. That's Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers in Oxford, 919-693-4626, toll free, 1-800-221-9267. Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. We do appreciate all of our sponsors on the Gardener's Corner program. Miss Michaela Berryhill is our guest on the program today. And Michaela is the crops agent for Person and Granville counties. Now, Michaela, as far as soil temperatures go, that really is important as far as helping seed germinate. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. And it's important for each of the crops that we grow here in Person and Granville County. So the big one, of course, is tobacco. And as farmers are trying to figure out when to go ahead and pull the trigger on transplanting tobacco, It's important to kind of keep that soil temperature in mind. So tobacco growth is greatly improved whenever soil temperature increases from 60 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's pretty safe to say that warm soil or soil that is greater than 65 degrees Fahrenheit is the best to plant into. And I looked at some historic temperature data and looked at data from 2017 to about 2021, and the average time that the soil temperature reaches reaches 65 degrees in this area is around April 28th. Now, that's not to say that it's like that every year, but that's just about the average of it. And so sometimes it's not reasonable to wait that long to start transplanting tobacco. Sometimes growers need to start earlier, whether it's because the weather is good, it's because they have a lot of tobacco to get through and they don't want to be planting super late into the season. You know, there's many reasons that you would need to plant into colder soil temperatures. And so if you do need to do that, it is a good idea to add about 5 pounds of phosphorus per acre into your transplant water. Phosphorus is not super available in soils that are cool and damp, and so a small charge of phosphorus can help get that tobacco plant up and running and growing a little bit more vigorously than it would have if it was just planted into those cold soils. So those are some considerations for tobacco. The next crop that I wanted to talk about a little bit are soybeans. A lot of times, soybeans, you don't really have to worry too much about planting into colder soils because we plant them so late in the season. But there has been an interest on planting soils earlier. And so whenever you are planting soils into mid-April in this area, you could be planting into some pretty cold soils depending on what the weather will look like between now and then. And so soils, you don't want them to be any lower than 55 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit for soybeans because there are some seedling diseases like Phytophthora and Fusarium that can impact those roots. And so if you are in a situation where you are wanting to plant those soybeans earlier, I would look into having a fungicidal seed treatment on those soybeans to make sure that you don't get impacted by any of those cold season seedling diseases. So those are some considerations for soybeans. Corn is a whole other beast. Corn needs what we call growing degree days in order to germinate. They need to have an accumulation of 40 to 50 growing degree days over the 4 to 5 days after planting. And so growing degree days are basically an accumulation of heat over time. And so there's a formula where you can figure out the growing degree days and everything like that. But NC State has done a really good job. They developed a tool where you can actually input, if you're planning on planting corn that day or later that week, you can go on this tool and put in your location, and based on previous historic weather data and the weather forecast, it will calculate how many growing degree days are going to be over the next few days. And so you can look on there and see if it is a good time to plant corn. Corn really needs that rapid and good germination. And so it's really important to keep this in mind whenever you're starting to plant. You don't want to plant corn whenever it's about to turn off cold because those seeds are just going to sit there in the soil and you're going to have some pretty major yield implications on that. So if you're interested in that tool, it's online. You can look up the, we call it the corn plant guidance chart or the corn climate dashboard. You can Google that and it will come up, or if you're interested in it, you can give me a call and we can walk through it and everything that it has to offer together. But those are just some things to think about as you're planting. The soil temperature is really important, and so it may be something that you should start paying attention to as we go into this growing season.
Some helpful and good information. We'll be back after these messages. James Shorty Loftus and Jason Loftus are proud to announce that they are the owners and operators of Loftus and Son Land Services, LLC. Call James Shorty Loftus at 336-592-6381 or call Jason Loftus at 919-282-4780 for all of your grading, landscaping, forestry, mulching, field edging, cleanup, driveways, and gravel work. That's Loftus and Sons Land Services, LLC. Family-owned land services with over 40 years experience spanning three generations. Again, you can call James Shorty Loftus at 336-592-6381 or Jason Loftus at 919-282-4780. Be sure to check out that Facebook page, Loftus and Sons Land Services, LLC.
There's a lot going on right now, and broadcasters are on the ground covering all of it, bringing you the weather, the traffic, and breaking news, all while entertaining you 24 hours a day. Someone needs to tell you what's going on around the world and in our hometowns, and that someone is us. We are free radio. We are always there. We are broadcasters. Visit wearebroadcasters.com or text radio to 52886 to learn more. Furnished by NAB and this station.
Jason Acock Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces the Justice Consignment Equipment Auction Sale to be held Saturday, March 11th. Please note an early start at 9 a.m. That auction sale address, 3675 NC581 Highway, Lewisburg. For terms, to view photographs of items up for auction and more information, log on to JasonAcockAuctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285. The auction will be held rain or shine. No bias premium will be charged, be it in person or online through proxy bid. Up for auction on Saturday, March 11th at 9 a.m., tractors, combine, construction equipment, vehicles, trailers, planting, tillage, hay, and landscaping equipment, plus zero-turn mowers and lots other items. That's JasonAcockAuctioneering.com or 919-495-0285. That is the Justice Consignment Equipment Auction, Saturday, March 11th, to be held at 3675 NC 581 Highway in Lewisburg. JasonAcockAuctioneering.com for more information. Here we are back on the Gardener's Corner program. Miss Michaela Berryhill is our guest today. Michaela, we've got, well, not much time at all left, but you've covered a lot of different topics today. Is it any kind of information that you would still like to pass along to our listeners that we haven't done that as of yet?
Well, one thing that I did want to mention as well is that the Corn Growers Association of North Carolina is going to be having a referendum coming up. It's going to be on March 14th, and anybody that grows corn, this is to approve the checkoff dollars that goes to the university and to corn research whenever they purchase a bag of corn. And so if you're interested in voting in that referendum, please come by either the Granville or Person County Extension office in order to vote for that. And other than that, that's all that I've got for today.
Well, you've passed out a lot of good information. And by the way, we want to tell you happy birthday. I understand you got a birthday coming up on Monday. Is that, I guess, will be the 13th?
Yep, that's right.
Well, I hope you have a happy birthday weekend and get out and enjoy while you can. And good luck tomorrow at Vance Granville Community College. And you may have a huge crowd on hand to listen to you talk about drones and in their use in ag. So I think that'll be really interesting. Well, look, Michaela,
you take care
and appreciate all the hard work that you do and all the other agents with the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service does. We're very lucky and very fortunate to have the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service serving, you know, all of North Carolina. You folks have the knowledge and you don't mind sharing it with us folks that don't have the knowledge. But Michaela, have a wonderful Friday afternoon. Again, happy birthday a few days early, and we look forward to having you back on the program. And I guess that'll be maybe our next show with you, I think, will be somewhere around April the 14th. So looking forward to that already.
That sounds good. Thank you very much. I hope everybody has a good day.
And we appreciate T.G. Brooks Supply Company, Dry Creek Auction, Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers, E.B. Harris Auctioneering, Loftus & Son Land Services, and Jason Acock Auctioneering.